You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of June 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, we are really going to continue with the conversation that we were having yesterday about Black Lives Matter and their attacks on the monuments in Britain. But before we get into that, I just want to talk a little bit about the response to it from civic nationalists. Tommy Robinson is trying to get together a counter-protest to Black Lives Matter for next weekend, ostensibly to protect our monuments from them. Now, that is, obviously, that's a good intention there, but the result is not going to be helpful to us at all. At the moment, what we are seeing is majority black mobs. There are some white faces dotted amongst them, but they are black supremacists. So far, they have caused 62 police to be injured. They've destroyed a monument, defaced others. And we've seen the BBC and the mainstream media cover up for it, try to blame the police for it, and describe the riots as peaceful protests. And today there is some pushback. There are some editorials that have been produced in the Daily Mail and the Express, I think, calling this out for what it is and saying that this is absolutely scandalous, the treatment of the police and the way that the BBC are trying to cover this up. Now, the more this happens, the more Middle England is going to see exactly what is going on, and they're going to understand that this is caused by diversity. This is caused by having other races living among us who hate our ancestors. As I pointed out yesterday, you've got Edward Colston, but the organisation he was a part of was set up by the king. You got John Locke that was involved in it. If they're going to start taking down people that were involved in with that organisation, they're going to want to take down everything to do with us. They hate us. They hate all representations of us. And this is becoming clearer and clearer to the general public, which will, I think, will lead to them supporting nationalist movements and supporting people that are speaking up about this. Now, if there are civic nationalists that go out to counter-demonstrate the Black Lives Matter movement, it's obviously going to end in violence, and the violence is going to be blamed on the civic nationalists. At the moment, the mainstream media are desperate to try and find somebody else to blame rather than the black rioters. They settled on blaming the police, as we saw yesterday in the BBC, claiming the police were behaving aggressively, even though they weren't even in riot gear. The police were being chased by the mob, and yet the BBC reports it as the police were being aggressive. Protesters feared for their lives when they saw police on horseback, when the truth is, protesters were hurling pushbikes and bottles at the mounted police. So they're desperate to find somebody else to blame. And we know what happens when nationalists hold a protest. The Antifa and the left will turn up. They will start hurling rocks and bottles and all the stuff that they were hurling at the police this weekend that's just gone. They will then be hurling that at the civic nationalists. The civic nationalists will have to defend themselves, which is what Tommy's asking for these people to go out and do, defend the monuments. and the media will report it that white supremacists attacked the Black Lives Matter peaceful protesters. We know exactly how it's going to end. This is exactly what they want us to do. At the moment, they're really struggling to keep the lid on this image of the peaceful protester. And if civic nationalists go out there and try to defend these monuments and do the job that the police should be doing, we are just playing into their hands. I just hope no ethno-nationalists go with them. I hope Tommy thinks again about this. Surely he must know how that is going to end. Plus, you've also got the fact that we are still under social distancing restrictions. And we've already seen what happens when white people try to protest. They get threatened with arrest. Paul Golding had his security team arrested when he tried to arrange a protest outside the court, and he was told that any protesters that turned up would be arrested. We've also seen what's happened with the white people that have tried to protest the lockdown. They've ended up being arrested as well. If Tommy tries to get nationalists to go to these monuments, the nationalists will be arrested for breaking the lockdown rules, or it will end in violence. And the nationalists will be blamed. And instead of the conversation in Middle England being about this scandalous movement of foreigners that are destroying our monuments, the conversation will be about the white supremacist thugs that were beating up the poor black peaceful protesters. So I just hope that none of our side go there and join him. And I also hope that Tommy thinks twice about this and calls it off, because surely he must know exactly how that is going to end. I mean, you could even say that this is evidence of him not actually being genuine. I mean, there have been accusations that he's just put up there as a front to draw attention away from the truth, and by doing this, he's really just putting all his supporters at risk. Yes, we don't want our monuments to be damaged, but it's the police that should be protecting them. And when they do get damaged, it serves as fantastic propaganda for us, doesn't it, really? It just means that the other people that are furious at this will be more inclined to support nationalists that have been speaking out about this and warning that this is what was going to start happening if the immigration wasn't stopped, if the troublemakers weren't sent back to the countries that they come from. And this isn't just happening in Britain. It happened in Brussels as well over the weekend. I've got a short report here on what happened there. Brussels, the centre of power for the racially tolerant European Union, was ravaged by rioting and looting amidst Black Lives Matter protests, ostensibly over the death of US citizen George Floyd. What has that got to do with people in Brussels? Why are there Africans in Brussels? What are they doing there? Police arrested at least 150 thugs during the Black Lives Matter protest on Sunday as racial unrest spreads throughout Europe. The agitators set fires, broke storefront windows, and looted stores in Matongi, an ethnically diverse district of the city. Remember, we're told that diversity is a strength, and it's where there is the most diversity that we are seeing the most violence, the most rioting, and the most looting. They also went after monuments in Belgium. They went after King Leopold and desecrated the monument of King Leopold, another heroic character in the past of the Belgian people. These foreigners that are in our countries, they hate us, and they will not be happy until they have eliminated everything there is to do with us. I mean, they talk about whiteness, everything to do with white people is what they hate. And these Black Lives Matter protests give them an excuse to carry out these desires of theirs. And the more they do it, and the more it gets reported, because eventually the mainstream media does have to show the damage that they have caused. And of course, a lot of people can find it on Twitter and can find it on YouTube, but eventually it has to be put on the television, and Middle England sees it, or Middle Belgium, or Middle Brussels sees it, and they realise that the people that are supposed to be our government are in actual fact just as much against us as these imported foreigners are. The protest turned violent as rioters attacked police, who were in turn forced to use water cannons to disperse the violent mob, according to the local news outlet 7sur7. After the rally, troublemakers and delinquents deliberately provoked the police and destroyed the street furniture. They then went after stores to rob them like common thieves. I immediately asked the police to disperse the looters and arrest them, said Brussels Mayor Philippe Close. And the comment there that's important is just like common thieves. Because that's what's going on here. You've got people that see something that they want, they haven't got it, so they just take it. That is their logic. That's the logic that we saw that was happening in America with that interview with the New York City Black Lives Matter leader that we were discussing with Grandpa Lampshade on Friday. And they were saying this is wealth distribution. They've been told that they can have this stuff and yet they can't have it. And what he means by that is that these foreigners have been told that if they come to Europe, if they come to America, they can live the dream, they can earn all this money, they can have all these material possessions. And then they get to our countries and in actual fact, they can't really write very well, they can't add up, they're no good at work, so they can't get a job. They end up on welfare and the welfare doesn't pay enough for them to buy all the bling, but all the bling is there around them. So they use an excuse like these protests to just smash and grab, basically. And then the mainstream media covers for them because, of course, they are our idols, aren't they? Yeah, this is basically idolatry, the idolatry of the black man. Well, at least we do have one person speaking up in the political field here in Britain, and that is Nigel Farage. And as much as people will criticise Nigel for his civic nationalist stance, at least he is speaking up against this. Nigel said on Sunday, a new form of the Taliban was born in the UK today. Unless we get moral leadership quickly, our cities won't be worth living in. And it's not just the Taliban, it's also ISIS. The Taliban blew up the world famous giant statue of the Buddha once they came into power in Afghanistan. Buddha was, of course, a white man. He was of the Sakyamuni tribe. He was a Scythian. So it was a statue of a white man that was blown up. ISIS, when they were out there in Syria, in Palmyra, which was a Roman and a Phoenician city and temple. Again, that was something that was built by white people that the non-whites destroyed. And ISIS went on a rampage throughout the Middle East, tearing down monuments that were built by mainly white people. So we can see that there is a correlation here, isn't there? We see the black movement in America that wants to tear down all the Confederate monuments, all the monuments to white people. And now we see the Black Lives Matter movement in Britain tearing down the statue of Edward Colston yesterday, and now they're talking about tearing down statues of Cecil Rhodes today, defacing a statue of Winston Churchill, and even defacing a statue of Abraham Lincoln. You see, this isn't about people that have helped black people out, because Abraham Lincoln was against slavery. This is about destroying everything that represents white people, because they see everything white as a form of oppression, which is the complete reversal of reality. Of course, they have white people to thank for everything that they have. Continuing with the quotes from Nigel Farage here. The tearing down of the Edward Colston statue in Bristol for the second day in a row, Winston Churchill's statue in Parliament Square being defaced, a mob around the statue screaming Churchill was a racist. We saw another assault on the cenotaph, this time with some yob climbing up there and trying to set fire with a cigarette lighter to the Union flag. These were just some of the highlights from what happened in the United Kingdom, he observed in his message posted to his YouTube channel. So he's pointing out what these protests are really about. It's about destruction of white people. Unlike the BBC, who are claiming this is all about peaceful protests and it's all about this this American guy getting shot, this American criminal getting shot. Don't forget, he pointed a gun at a pregnant woman, broke into her home, pointed a gun at her belly and robbed her. That's what this guy was. He was an armed robber and a drug dealer with all sorts of criminal record for violence. And this is the person that people are kneeling down to show their respect to, particularly the Democratic Party, which particularly funny. They were kneeling down for 8 or 9 minutes, I believe, and Nancy Pelosi was unable to get up. They're all wearing these stupid African scarves as well. It's quite a hilarious thing to see, the virtue signalling from the Democrats. Getting back to Nigel here, the veteran campaigner poured scorn on the BBC for portraying the Black Lives Matter as so peaceful and so wonderful after multiple violent and ugly protests with over 50 Metropolitan Police officers injured, some of them seriously. And we hear today that it's actually 62 police officers injured. When were police officers ever injured by nationalists at a nationalist protest? And when was a nationalist protest ever portrayed as a peaceful protest by the BBC? Every time they report on nationalists protesting, they always call it violent. They never get any interviews with the actual nationalists. They only ever talk to the opponents of it. And what we see here is a mirror image of it in the reporting on these Black Lives Matter thugs. It's not to say there aren't still things in society that aren't perfectly fair, but it is to say this, and to say it very, very clearly. This Black Lives Matter movement is a dangerous Marxist organisation, hell-bent on anarchy, and we need to wake up, get some facts into our heads, and understand what it is we are fighting. Bravo, Nigel. Bravo, pointing out that this is Marxist, this is anarchist, and they're just bent on destruction, and it's dangerous. And it's just incredible that the BBC are choosing to support them, that we have politicians in Parliament that are choosing to support them. The only reason they're supporting them is because they're black. That is the only reason. You think about what this organisation is calling for. The end of the police. They want to get rid of the police and have gangs ruling the streets. Farage stressed that the main agenda of the movement is the defunding of the police force. That's right, they want to effectively close down the established police force in the United States of America, and that's what the key activists in this country want to do as well. And of course, they've succeeded in doing that in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. They are going to disband the police force there. And as Grandpa Lampshade pointed out on Friday, they've actually done this in places before, and straight away they're screaming, "Where are the police? Where are the police?" because the crime rate just shoots through the roof. They're aiming at a radical redistribution of wealth. They are hinting at assets being taken from private companies and put into the hands of workers. I mean, look, this is a little bit like the 1917 Lenin Manifesto, which saw the communist revolution in Russia, he said. And again, it's only Nigel that's actually pointing this out. I pointed out the other day that these were neo-Bolsheviks, because what they're doing is the same that the Bolsheviks did. They're just destroying things and attacking and stealing whatever they can. And this radical redistribution of wealth, that's actually what they call the looting. If you look at the literature that Black Lives Matter put out, that's what they call looting. Redistribution of wealth, taking from the rich to the poor, they see it as. Never mind the fact that a lot of the stores that they were looting from in America were actually black-owned. That's the kind of thing that we're dealing with here. And it's very heavily funded. They're not short of money. They've got some big backers, Soros, others who want to fundamentally overturn the norms of society as we see them today, he alleged. And of course, it is a bit of a cliche to talk about Soros funding them, but he did fund them. He funded them to the tune of millions of dollars back at the time when Donald Trump was first standing for election. But it's not just Soros. As I pointed out last week, we've got Nicola Sturgeon standing up in the Scottish Parliament saying that the Scots should be paying for the bail funds of these looters in America. We've got these big corporate companies that are pledging to spend inordinate amounts of money on Black Lives Matter, paying for the bail funds of the rioters and the looters. So it's not just our favourite enemy to pick out, Soros. It's all these corporations, and it's members of our own parliament that are doing this. He says it's not about equality of opportunity. It's about an organisation that is hell-bent on changing society and is prepared to use violence and anarchy to do so, he insisted, before condemning Prime Minister Boris Johnson's near silence throughout the crisis and the state's policy of appeasement in general. Well, we have equality of opportunity. That's why these people want to come to our country, because they know that there is equality of opportunity. But more than that, they want to make it an equality of outcome. They want it to be that it's not your merit that actually gets you your reward, but just everybody gets a reward anyway. And we can see this throughout society. We can see this in children's sports days, where everybody wins an award. Nobody can actually lose. And we see this with the diversity quotas, where people should be given jobs just because of what race they are, just because of what they have between their legs, or just because of who they choose to sleep with at night, rather than actually having the qualifications for the job. It's not about equality of opportunity. It's about taking from us and giving to people that haven't created what we have created. They're jealous of what we have, and instead of trying to create it for themselves, they believe that they have the right to just take it from us. And they're doing this with the blessing of our government. The very people that are supposed to be standing up for us are the ones that brought these people into our country and are standing there in Parliament pledging their support for these vandals. Farage also questioned the case for protests, all unlawful, as the anti-coronavirus regulations remain in place, given the evidence does not support allegations of racially aggravated police brutality on any appreciable scale in the United Kingdom. Again, he's pointing out that these are all unlawful. The mainstream media was calling for Dominic Cummings to be sacked last week, along with a lot of the left-wing politicians. They were all calling for him to go because he had dared to drive up north. And now we've got tens of thousands of black supremacists hell-bent on violence rioting in the streets. The numbers don't really stack up. You know, over the course of the last 10 years, just over 160 people have died in police custody in this country, and only 13 of them were black. 13. And 160 people actually died. That means that 90% of the people that died in police custody were white, not black. He says, so you put that against the number of black people arrested compared to the number of white people being arrested, and actually, statistically, there is nothing at all in the argument. You could even argue in this country that you are more likely to die in police custody if you are white, he added. And that's true. And we can look at the figures here. They come from the Home Office Independent Office for Police Conduct. Number of white deaths in percentage of white deaths in custody, 90%. Percentage of black deaths in custody, 10%. And according to the last census, white people make up 85% of the country. Not 90%, 85%. So you're more likely to die in police custody if you are white than if you are black. And there are actually a lot of very interesting statistics available at a website called ideasanddata.wordpress.com, and they've got a very lengthy article about racial bias in police shootings. And let's just have a look at these statistics. They all come from America. In America, the CDC says that around 27% of people killed by police are black. A sociologist used data from killedbypolice.net to argue that number should be 30%, and the FBI puts it at 32%. And of course, killed by police, this is obviously, they've got an axe to grind, haven't they? So they're trying to make out that more blacks are killed than anybody else. But by contrast, Black Americans account for 13% of the total population, and this is why people say, oh, it must be racism, because twice as many of them are being killed than their percentage of the population. But, and it's a big but, 38% of all violent criminals are black, and 53% of all murders are black. So they're actually five times more likely to commit a murder. Black people also account for 40% of all those who murder police officers, and so probably instigate around 40% of all potentially lethal confrontations with the police. So even though they make up 13% of the population, they make up 40% of those who attempt to murder the police. So they're three times more likely to try and murder a police officer than a white man. So you would expect the police officers to be a little bit more careful around blacks, a little bit more defensive around them, judging by these statistics. But of course, if they are, they will be accused of being racist. People just ignore all the facts and statistics and claim that anybody that recognizes a pattern here is being racist. So in actual fact, black people are actually underrepresented among those killed by police relative to their representation among those who commit violent crimes, those who commit murder, and those who kill police officers. Cesario et al. In 2018 carried out a more thorough analysis of this using multiple sources for crime rates, including using estimates from victimization surveys. The paper also distinguished between everyone killed by police and those who were killed by police while unarmed and not aggressing. For the majority of estimates, white people are overrepresented among such killings. In nearly all cases, there was no evidence for significant anti-black bias. So in actual fact, you're more likely to be killed while unarmed by the American police if you're white. A total lack of anti-black bias is also implied by research which compares the behaviour of black and white police officers. For instance, Meinfeld et al. In 2018 finds that black people account for 33% of those killed by non-white police officers, compared to only 28% of those killed by white police officers. So blacks are more likely to be killed by a non-white police officer than by a white police officer. The media makes it seem like unarmed black men are shot by police so frequently that it is rational for black people to live in fear of this happening to them. In fact, the weather, accidentally falling over, accidentally drowning, cocaine, intra-racial homicide, and HIV are more common causes of death for African Americans than is being killed by a cop while unarmed. In total, police kill around 215 black people per year. This includes black people who were attacking police officers. By contrast, between 1976 and 2005, on average each year, there were 981 black-on-white murders and 375 white-on-black murders. So black-on-white murders, there are three times as many black-on-white murders as there are white-on-black murders, and remember, blacks only make up 13% of the population. There have been 19 race riots like the ones we see now going on in America since 1964, with thousands of people injured, millions of dollars worth of property and businesses destroyed, and over 250 people killed. And that is not including this year's peaceful protests. I think there's been over 10 people that have been killed, including a black security guard. I've seen a white storekeeper that's just been killed, basically, and that was recorded on video. We've seen white people trying to defend stores that have been kicked and stoned to death. Horrific violence, absolutely horrific violence that is going on in the name of this Black Lives Matter movement. Yet today, most black people support Black Lives Matter, a movement associated with several deadly race riots and several anti-white mass murders. And now we have politicians speaking up for them. We have the journalists speaking up for them, covering up for them. And I, for one, am very grateful that at least we have Nigel Farage that is providing a counter narrative to the anti-white one. And as I say, there have been a few op-eds that were released today that are also pointing some of these things out. And the last thing we need is nationalists to go out there and start fighting with these people, because it will then all be about how white people provoked the violence. Don't go to these protests next weekend. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.